Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, please. We'll start there. Okay, we're coming close to the end of this quarter in our Bible 101 series. And so this morning what I want to do is, I've not taught a class exactly like this before, but I hope it will be helpful and practical to us as part of our study. And I just want to talk about getting organized with our study notes, the things that we learn and figure out, just making use of those in the future by being careful and being organized right now, because we plan to be Christians the rest of our lives, right? And the Bible's not changing. So what Acts 2:38 says today, it's going to say 50 years from now if we're both still around. So if I can make notes now and things I learn now and refer back to these over the years, that helps in Bible study. It's been a huge benefit to me, and so I want to talk about those things this morning. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, he says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. But I have written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God." So notice here you've got some brethren. He says they're good, they're knowledgeable in verse 14. But then he also says in verse 15, I want to remind you of some things. So even though they're good, knowledgeable brethren, they needed to be reminded of some things. And that's because, let's face it, we forget stuff. And we all need reminding. Paul told Timothy, remind them of these things. 2 Timothy 2:14. Paul told Titus, remind them. Titus 3 and verse 1. Also look at 2 Peter chapter 1. As Peter's talking about this, he's writing these letters to folks for the purpose of reminding them. He's going to die at some point and be gone, but his written testimony would still be there for them to refer back to. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Let me make sure I've got the right reference here. No, I did want 2 Peter. I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12. See, you forget stuff. It's a good thing. You write it down. Hopefully you write it down the right way. 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent at any time after my departure that you will be able to call these things to mind. And you see in chapter 3 in verse 1, this is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So Peter, again, writing these things so that they would have a written reminder of spiritual truth after he's dead and gone. And of course, Peter himself had to be reminded, all the apostles. You know, before Jesus left earth, he tells the apostles, the Helper's going to come, the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach you all things and put you into remembrance of all that I taught you, John 14, 26. So we just need to be reminded. There's no way we're going to remember every little thing that we learn or hear, and so we need to be reminded. We tend to forget stuff. We could have made this point without proving it from the Bible. We would all admit it. Yeah, we forget stuff, but it's certainly there in the Bible. You think of all the memorials through the Old Testament even where God set up something to remind the Israelites over time. The Passover feast was an annual reminder of what happened back in Egypt. We mentioned the tassels on the garments. The 12 stone, when they crossed the Jordan River and set up that 12 stone memorial so when their kids asked, they could. Now we have the Lord's Supper every week, so it reminds us of Jesus and centers our thoughts back. So we tend to forget stuff. God tries to help us remember stuff by setting up those memorials. And so this quarter we've been talking about how to study the Bible, and I've taught classes like this one way or the other several times over the years. I've taught it out for kids sometimes, how to study the Bible. I've never done this exact lesson before, just getting all of that stuff organized. What do you do practically to try to keep that stuff organized? So I thought, I don't know, maybe you guys won't like this Bible class, but I'm just going to show you what I do. And then you can take it or leave it. Here's some advice on how to keep my stuff organized. Free advice. It's worth what you pay for it. So just imagine that if you're talking to somebody and they say, well, what about the church? You know, What is the church? What's the concept of the church? Okay, what are you going to say? You know there's some verses there, and I have no doubt we could each pull out our phone and search for the word church. And that's a good way to start, and that might be the way we start anyway. But there's 114 times that the word church, ecclesia, appears in the New Testament. And so could we narrow it down? So now we start thinking about, okay, I know I've heard a zillion sermons on the church. How many times did Brother Jenkins teach us about the church? I wish I had something there in front of me where I could go back and maybe narrow down. Here's a few key verses that will tell us about the church. Well, wouldn't it be good if we just had that information just ready to go somewhere and we could go back and refer to that, because we know that's going to be something that comes up from time to time. And that's just an example. Pick any topic, baptism, authority, worship, whatever. That's the idea. Or maybe we're reading along with somebody or just for our own benefit. What is that phrase in Romans mean? And we've studied that phrase before. Again, how many times did Brother Jenkins teach the book of Romans? I tried to teach the book of Romans a couple years ago. But we just don't remember every little thing. Wouldn't it be good if there was some way, some system we could go back and refer to and find out what we had learned before? I don't know how many times I've gone back and stuff I have previously learned and I forgot. And I tell people, I have to go back and see what I believe about this passage because I can't remember. And I'll go back sometimes and find something that I wrote and preached or taught, and I forgot about that. And it's just, I'm probably worse than most people on forgetting. But because we forget, it helps to try to compensate for that by doing some things and storing that information. If we could all remember perfectly, you wouldn't need a Bible class like this. Okay, so that's what this is about. Now, before we begin, any comments, questions about anything on that end so far? Sir?
I wore my little mind out recently trying to find the passage on the resurrection and then the changing in order to combat a rapture comment that one of our brethren made on the Facebook.
Okay, so there's a case where a topic comes up, and I know I've studied that before. It would be good if we had a system to go back and find some information on that. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead. Keith, did you have your hand up?
On how do you back up your system? I know you do a lot on computer. Recently, I lost years of sermon notes in my three good sermons that I made.
Okay.
I only had three. Anyway, how do you back up yours?
I put everything on Microsoft OneDrive, so it's in the cloud. And so years ago, I used to keep everything on a USB thumb drive, and my brother went, don't put everything on a flash drive, and it drove Mark crazy. So I'm past that. I've graduated to maturity, and it's all on the cloud, which is good. So 2 weeks ago, my computer crashed, and Mark saved me, but it's all on OneDrive, and so I just thankfully, we had a meeting, so I had a little extra time to get my computer back up and going last week. But that's how I do it. My stuff's all in the cloud on OneDrive. Bible notes. So I'm just talking about putting notes in the margin of your Bible. And this quarter we've been talking about paper Bibles and digital Bibles. And so whichever way you want to do is fine. I'm not trying to convert you from one to the other. But simple, we've been doing it forever. Back in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were written in the centuries before Christ, those scribes were making marginal notes. So this is nothing new to our generation. People have been doing this forever, I guess. And it's very, very helpful. Just a simple little thing in the margin there can help you remember something that you've learned or studied before, some little symbol, some little note. And that can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. I've mentioned before, who lived back here? Iverson. And his Bible that was out at his funeral. And, I mean, that thing, it was like a whole other Bible within the margins of his Bible. They had it out for us to, like a museum piece to look at it. There's just thousands, literally thousands of notes in there. And so that might be the best system for you. Obviously, you're limited by space in a paper Bible and how much you can write in a margin. You can buy these wide margin Bibles that helps a little with that. But then you also face the inevitable falling apart of a paper Bible over time. And that's why I've moved away from that system. is because, you know, you either recopy all your notes to the next Bible or try to have the Bible rebound, which doesn't really solve the problem permanently, or you just start over. And so now I put all my digital, my notes in the margin Bible in my digital Bible. So the sky's the limit, or the cloud's the limit on, you know, what you can put in there. You can put a whole bunch of stuff in there. And so let me just show you some screenshots. This is YouVersion. We've been talking about the YouVersion app throughout the quarter a little bit. And so you can make notes in there. So if you just tap on a verse, and then this little window is going to come up down here, and you just tap note, and then this is going to pop up, and you just type your note. So this is YouVersion there. Olive Tree is another example. We've been talking about Olive Tree throughout the quarter. And so, again, you can put a whole sermon outline. This is an example from David Dulac, and he just puts whole sermon outlines sometimes in his notes. And I mentioned in a previous class, he went somewhere visiting on vacation or whatever, and they asked him to preach. Small church, you want to preach? And he said, sure. Gets his Olive Tree app out and pops open one of his notes, and there's his sermon outline. Here's another one. And again, in Olive Tree, you can either look at the note in this little pop-up window, or you can have your resource guide on the side or on the bottom that shows your notes as you go along. So you can really do a lot with digital Bibles for that reason, because you can just store whatever you want in there. You can put photos or graphics in there, at least in some of them. And this is a screenshot of my computer thing that I use called Logos, but I don't know if Olive Tree can do this or not, if you can put photos. But this is one of my PowerPoints. You might remember the look of that from a few weeks ago. And I'll just put a slide in there sometimes. And by the way, I notice some people taking photos of slides sometimes. I think that's great. People do it here, and when I go hold meetings some places, I'll have a slide full of information, and you'll see people holding their phones or tablets up and taking pictures. I think that's great. And if you do that, you could maybe just enter that photo into your notes in a digital Bible, and then it's there for next time. I know you can't read this, so I'm just trying to show you that it's there. Here's my introduction to the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So I taught that during COVID, and then I just put my intro to those books there. So every time I go there, it's my own personal little introduction there. And you might do that, just kind of accumulating stuff over the years. Add a little note, and eventually you'll have an introduction compiled, your own personal little stuff there. You may be able to attach several notes or the same note to several different places in your Bible. So we were talking about church as an example here. So here's my note on Ecclesia. And in my software, you can attach it to several. So I've got it attached to Ephesians 5 and Matthew 16 and Hebrews 12 and so on. So it shows up the same place. Or you could just copy and paste a note, like an Olive Tree, maybe to several different places so that it's there and you can find it when you go to those places. And again, this is just because we forget stuff. What's that passage? Oh, and then I go find that. If I can find this Ecclesia note, it's all right there, and I can go from one to the other like a chain of references. Let's see, what else? This is Acts 13. This is Paul's three preaching journeys. I just keep a note of all of those things so I can see it clearly and remind myself where those things begin and end. And then I also have any little yellow square, that's my notes, and then blue star is somebody else's. Like if JD said something in a Bible class, I make a note on that, that's going to be a blue star there. So I make a little note on this. So you can do that in those different apps. Okay, let me just pause there. There's a bunch of examples. Comments, anything?
Some people use, and Logos is endless. You create your own highlight if, you know, it's got every color and shape and pictures, whatever. Yeah. I mean, every highlight. And some people go really crazy with that and do really good jobs.
Yeah, you can do it.
So I've got a little highlighting there. Any location of significance I like to put in green with that little globe icon there. So I'm not really talking about highlighting in this class, but just a quick thing. I do location, the green, and then I do people, and I do time. So any time stamp that's in there, or a person, you know, not every single person, but if I want to just quickly look at the passage, say, who was talking here? And then I've got it highlighted usually in blue. But anyway, here's a note I made on Exodus 21, this is last week. I'm going to use an example in the sermon I'm about to preach from the priesthood in the Old Covenant. And I was going back and trying to track down the passages again of where did the priesthood start. And I've done that I don't know how many times, so I finally decided I need a note and just keep this so I'm not trying to rebuild the wheel every time I do this. So there's an example of something you can do. It's just a time saver to remind ourselves and a time saver when you're trying to pull those passages out. Last week I found something in Acts 11 that stumped me, and I couldn't get it. I was looking through my files, and I found an old email. I emailed a preacher about this exact thing several years ago, and I had it all saved right there. And dumb me, I couldn't even remember that I emailed the guy, and there I had 5 pages worth right there. So now I've got a note in Acts chapter 11. Hey, go look at that file you got, dummy. And so that helps me remember. So now, if you like using a paper Bible, look, I'm not trying to convert you to digital. There's pros and cons with all of this. In fact, I think I'll preach out of a paper Bible till the day I die, unless there's some good reason to switch. I tried switching one time. It didn't work. So, but as far as notes and all that, I gave up a long time ago doing it in paper. I do all that stuff in digital now. Sir?
I'm not taking pictures. Like Larry comes up with, you know, a letter every month. And you can copy and paste.
Yeah.
So you could copy, highlight, copy, and put it in a note.
Okay.
And have the whole thing right there.
Can you put photos in the...
I didn't know either, so I used Logos as
my example up here, but.
Acts 13, verse 7, I think, when it mentions proconsul Sergius Paulus.
Yeah.
He could potentially be used as a timestamp because I think the proconsulship would change.
Okay. I can't remember that.
That's another thing I've forgotten. I probably knew that when I taught the book of Acts. But that might be what one of those, two people have said something interesting that I've put there. And I remember talking about the title proconsul changed at some point. Is that what you're talking about?
I just meant the owners of that title.
Oh, okay.
All right, so there's a good example. Remind ourselves of little things like that as we go along. Okay, anything else so far? Okay, and then let's get back to where I was. Filing system is just keeping track of all your notes outside of your Bible in some way. When I first started preaching, somebody, and I can't remember who, gave me this, and it's the Goodall filing system for the preacher. And I was noticing the other day, I don't really use it. A filing system for the average preacher. So you'll get a kick out of that. So I don't know if there's one for excellent preachers, but this is what they gave me. This is a filing system for the average preacher. And that's what I use. You know, back in the Stone Age, when we used metal filing cabinets and church buildings, church bulletins, and, you know, have all this paper stuff to file away. And so we put it, and it's really an ingenious system. It was alphabetical, but also topical and adaptable. So it was really cool, and I used it for years. But then, of course, now everything's digital. It's I'm wanting to save links to YouTube videos and digital church bulletins and stuff like that. So now I've transitioned everything to Microsoft OneDrive and my folder tree. And I'm going to show you my folder tree to see if you want to use any of that. But I would encourage you to set up some system, however simple you want it to be, but some way of keeping any notes to sermons, Bible class handouts, whatever, all that stuff, in kind of an organized system so that you can find it again. Bible class teachers, maybe you already have some sort of system going, but something like that you can use and file stuff away for future use because, again, we're just not going to remember all that stuff. I don't even remember, sermons I've preached. And I go back and find it and enlighten myself. It's really fun. But this, I'm not trying to get you to do anything complicated. You can start this in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, on your computer or wherever you want to save things, and it will be so helpful to you. It's so helpful to me, and I'm just trying to make you think of that and if you don't already have something going on, and it would be a benefit to you. So again, if some, you know, you want to study Galatians 6 and you say, I know I've heard sermons about Galatians 6, or I've got a stack of spiral notebooks full of sermon notes, and somewhere in there are some notes I took on Galatians 6, and I can't remember where. And by the way, let me put a plug in for Mark's website, Scripture Stream. You can always go to scripturestream.com and find lessons that have been preached here in the audio and Mark's notes that he takes along the way. But assuming you can't find it in Scripture Stream for some reason, or it was preached outside eventually, where can I find it? And so a filing system is good for that. A couple weeks ago, somebody showed me this app. It's called TurboScan, where you can just get your phone and take a picture of this piece of paper right now, and it'll turn it into a PDF that's easily transferred and savable. And so you can use something like that to digitize like a spiral-bound notebook full of sermon notes. So I'm thinking of Bible class teachers, for example. You know, you get the Facebook message Saturday night. Can somebody teach for me tomorrow? We just got sick. And you say, I sure can. Let me just open up my file or whatever they're teaching, and there's all my worksheets and stuff that from Daniel and the Lion's Den or whatever that you want to teach the next day. It's all right there, easy to access. So here's my folder tree, I guess is what you call this, that I have on my computer. Like Keith was just asking about, this is all in OneDrive on my computer. And feel free to use this, not use this, use it as a starting point. And so I'll just show you what I have. Okay, works in progress is obvious. This Bible class is in works in progress right now. And about 100 other things that I started and haven't finished yet. Miscellaneous is where I keep Bible drill, weddings, funerals, those kind of things. Apologetics and Bible. There's a lot that goes in there. So each of these folders opens up, and there's 5 folders, 100 folders inside each of those. So Ara had these handouts for his class a few weeks ago. They're in the apologetics section there, the one Mark sends out. That's all creation, evolution, anything about that, apologetics. The reason I lump these two together over the years is because a lot of that is like inspiration of the Bible. So I just put them all together in different folders inside this one main folder. This Bible class is going to go from works in progress to Bible when I'm done. Books of the Bible, obviously inside that I have 66 different folders with the books of the Bible, and then some additional ones like that are groups of the Bible, like Gospels. Like if I have a sermon on the parables that I want to file, well, where would I put it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? So I put it in the Gospels folder, stuff like that. So each book of the Bible plus some extras. Daily living is just going to be a whole bunch of stuff from courage to discipleship to whatever. Deity, eternity, etc. I've got folders in there for Father, Son, Holy Spirit, heaven, hell. All those kinds of issues are all going to be in that section. Denominations and other religions. False doctrines not included elsewhere. So there's a big Calvinism folder in this one, for example. Family issues, so marriage, divorce, remarriage, parenting, grandparenting. All those kind of issues are going to go inside there. First principle, so authority, plan of salvation, grace, all those kind of concepts are within that folder. New Testament church, so the work of the church, the organization of the church, all those kinds of issues and all that goes in there. A lot in that one. People of the Bible, so Daniel, King David, Barnabas, everybody gets their own folder in that one. And then the last one is worship. So we've got a folder inside there on the Lord's Supper, a folder on preaching, a folder on giving, and so forth. And so that's my, let me back up to where I zoomed out. That's my folder tree. That's how I organize. So, again, take it or leave it, but I'm just suggesting, you know, you have so much stuff coming across your plate. And if you could just organize it so later you can go back and have a chance of finding it, it's so much easier. And I would just drown if I didn't have some way of organizing all that. And, of course, the benefit of me having it on the computer, I can pull it up on my phone anywhere. Or anywhere I can sign into Microsoft and have internet, and it's very, very helpful. Let me, I've got a couple more examples here, but let me pause there. Any questions, comments on any of that stuff? Again, not really a doctrinal Bible class this morning. I'm just trying to give you some practical advice that maybe would help. Sir?
But there's a whole bunch of different scanner apps.
Okay.
And I know people that use them, and like if you give them a handout, they're going to just take a picture of it and give it back to you.
Yeah.
Because you could actually highlight, you could write your notes, and everything on that PDF that you create with that app.
Okay.
And then have it as a note.
Okay, yeah, and it's
kind of like you write a check at the store anymore and they just scan it and give it back to you. Okay. Okay, let's see, I have a couple more screenshots here. Okay, so you can do this inside of Olive Tree, the Olive Tree app. Instead of folders, you're tagging your notes. And so, again, this is an example from David Dulac. So you can see all the tags he's attached to different notes. So you can tag it with one or more tags. This note has to do with authority, for example. And then you tap on authority later, and all your authority tagged notes comes up. So it's a way of just keeping that all together. And you can do all of that within the app. And, of course, the Olive Tree app syncs PC, tablet, phone, all that. So it's all going to be available to you. So, again, all of this is just because we just can't remember everything. And it's just a way of reminding ourselves, finding the information we've heard or studied or figured out in the past. There's been so many times I'll go back and look back at things that I have said that I forgot that I had figured out. And it sure does help to just spend a few extra minutes to file it away so you can find it later and save yourself some time and remind yourself of some things. So here's what I recommend. I know we got a lot of note takers at Benchley, so you can try this out. Listen to the sermon today. Take your notes as usual. If there's any, and then later, if there's any comment in particular that is something, you know, you're probably not going to file every little bit of information, but if there's a little note you want to put in the margin of your Bible, something new you learned, something special, make sure that goes in the margin of your Bible, and then maybe the whole thing, you scan it or whatever, make it into a PDF and put it in some sort of filing system just for reference whenever you want it later on. And if you spend just 5 minutes a week doing that, I think over time, you'll thank yourself later that you're doing it. So this is what I do every Monday morning is start the day when I'm doing good. I'll start the day doing this, and my sermons from Sunday will go in the filing system. I'll make notes in my Logos Bible, and I'll do all of this, and then I'm getting ready for next Sunday. Okay, comments, questions, anything, or any of this before we move on? Mark?
Where having a simple system is way, way better than having some giant complex system, because then you'll use it. Okay. If it's too complex, and, you know, you'll find reasons to avoid doing it. But if it's something simple, then you're more likely to almost do it accidentally if it's something more simple.
Yeah.
And it's making those notes kind of like saving for retirement. Like, it feels like you're not really doing a whole lot each time. But if you do that for a couple of years, you look back, wow, I've got a lot here. You know, I can write some sermons on this. I can teach some classes. You know, there's good information.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm on a lot of email lists of church bulletins and articles. I get so much stuff. I don't have time to read it all. I just file it away. If it looks interesting, I'll read a paragraph. You know, okay, this looks interesting. I'll file that away, and then later, when I'm studying that topic, use it. Okay, anything else? Go ahead.
What's in your digital library? Again, you could... instead of having to look it up every time, if there's something real important you read in a dictionary or whatever, you can cut and paste in your notes and not have to reference it ever.
Okay. Yeah, that's another big one. Yeah, not trying to retype it even, just cut and paste most of the time.
And, from any book, and yeah. Digital.
I love it.
It's a time saver. Okay, for the last few minutes, let's move on to the next topic here. Putting it all together. So we're going to do this for 10 minutes, and then I'll be out of town next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that will be our last class, and we'll go back and do this and maybe another example if we have time. So let's just practice studying. We've been talking about studying the Bible this whole time. So let's practice. Let's see if we can do that. And I've just picked a passage to practice on here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Okay, so let's turn over there. The best way to study something is to start by reading it. And it's amazing how often we skip that. The first thing we want to do is go read something about it. Let's just go to the text and read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everybody. Okay, so we think about the steps. Here's what we've been studying this quarter. Context, compare translations, do word studies, harmonize it with other passages, see if there's any figurative language in there. Make sure we're doing it all with the right attitude. We also had a class on, is this passage relevant to us or not? I'm going to lump that in with context here in a minute. But let's just do that. Let's just look at the context. So as we're talking, as I'm talking, just kind of scan your eyes through whatever you think is relevant context there, before and after verse 14. We're trying to figure out what's going on, who's talking or writing, who are they talking or writing to, is a word being used a certain way, that sort of thing. In this case, since it's an epistle, we'd probably go back to chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. So we know it's a letter. We know it's from Paul to the church in Thessalonica, and he's writing to them some things. And he called, you know, we can see indications throughout this. These are Christians. And so he's writing to Christians in all of this. He says a lot of good things about them. You see in chapter 1 and verse 7, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. You see in chapter 4 and verse 1, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. You see the same thing in verse 10, that you excel still more. So these folks are good brethren. They're Christians and they're strong Christians. He's commending them in several ways in this. So that helps us as we consider what's being said in 5:14. Evidently, there's some misunderstandings maybe about the second coming of Christ. He addresses that at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, like through 5:11. You see him talking about those issues, which probably is an indicator that maybe they had some misunderstanding there, or maybe he's just doing some random teaching. But seems to be there's an indication that they're misunderstanding this. He's correcting what's wrong in their minds. And then let's just pick it up in 5 and verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And then our verse, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Examine every form, or abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Okay, so that gives us a little of the context there. As is often the case, the letter is ending with some very practical things. A lot of times these letters would start with, like, I don't know, doctrinal stuff. Here's the teaching about these concepts, and then it reaches a transition, and it's like, here's the practice. So here's what it means in your life. And we're definitely in that section here as we're in chapter 5, practical stuff involving their daily living. So verses 12 and 13, notice there, verse 12, appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you. Who could that be talking about? That seems to be elders. I don't know who else in a local church has charge over you but the elders. So it doesn't use the word elder or shepherd or any of its synonyms there, but bound to be talking about elders. And so then our question is, well, in verse 14, is that still talking about elders? You notice in verse 14, then he says, we urge you, brethren. He's talking about the elders. Here's what you brethren need to do. You appreciate those who diligently labor among you, have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction. 13, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And then 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. So here's what I'm getting at. Some people might say 14 is talking to elders. That's elder work. But really, 12 and 13, yes, he's talking about elders. But he's talking to brethren about elders. Here's what you need to do. In 14, again, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Not that elders aren't brethren, but just in general, you brethren need to be doing this sort of thing. And then it goes on from there, and the rest of the chapter doesn't seem to be anything unique to elders. It's instructions for brethren. So does this verse even apply to us? I would think it does. He's talking to Christians there in Thessalonica, and those principles would apply to us, not just to elders. So what does God expect of his people? Well, these four things: admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everybody, with everyone. Okay, let me pause there. Any comments, questions, anything from the context that you want to bring out that I haven't mentioned so far? Okay, one thing we would also do is just compare translations. So if you have your phone there or gadget, you might be able to do that real easily. New King James says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." The ESV says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." The CSB says, "And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And so in this verse, the construction of the phrases is pretty consistent. You're just getting some synonyms in there. The only differences are the choices of English words used by the translators, but it's nothing too different there. So we're essentially comparing synonyms, which is helpful as we try to understand those words, but we can check that more out as we look at the Greek. One point of interest there, he uses the word brethren or adelphos in the Greek there in verse 14. We urge you, adelphos. And that word is just meaning brothers and sisters. But, you know, there's a kind of a debate in Bible translations. Do we translate that as brothers or brethren, or do we include brothers and sisters? It's talking about men and women. And so there's kind of a debate. How do we handle that? And so you see that as you compare translations in a passage like this. Not a huge deal here, because it's definitely talking about everybody, but just one thing to keep in mind as you compare passages in other places. Okay, does anybody see anything in a translation anywhere else to bring up, sir?
Yes, I do.
I preach out of the New American Standard and study mostly out of the New American Standard 1995 edition. But there's lots of other good ones. I like the ESV. I like the New King James. Of course, the Old King James is great. The Old American Standard, that I already say ESV. The CSB is interesting. The NIV is interesting. You just have to keep in mind the different philosophies. We had a whole class about translations. So just keep in mind what you're reading as you look at those. The NLT gets even more interesting, but it's less reliable. So there's some of those that are less reliable. And so you always go back to ones like the King James, New American Standard, that are going to have a more word-for-word translation philosophy. Anything else before we move on? Okay. Let's see. 2 minutes. Let's not try to squeeze anything in 2 minutes. Anybody have a final comment before we conclude? Mitch?
Yes, yeah.
And speaking of the gender thing, it does that in the 2020 update, which is one reason I decided not to switch over from my beloved 1995 edition. And I get the idea, because a lot of these, you don't, in the modern ear, sometimes when you say brothers, people are thinking exclusively males. And that's not what those verses mean in most cases. So I get what they're doing. In some places, it just makes it awkward. And I don't know. So I understand the debate, but that's one reason I didn't switch to the 2020. But yeah, I'm familiar with it. I like it. It's a great Bible. I love the New American Standard. There's one called the LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, which is a lot like the New American Standard too. Okay? Let's hold off until a couple weeks from now, Lord willing, and then we'll pick up this study once again. Thank you.